Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. I am your host and narrator, Wayne Anderson, and in this podcast I read from my personal collection of unpublished stories for your listening pleasure. This week we are continuing with The Hell Conduit, a new longer story, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. There's still a lot more to come. Before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. Please go check them out if you haven't already, and follow at Orange Hat Film Productions on Instagram. There, they're building a community of filmmakers and film fans interested in learning more about Orange Hat behind the scenes, new and old projects, and the crew and cast involved in bringing their films from script to screen. You can find more on www.orangehatfilmproductions.com, and I highly suggest you guys go check them out. Without any further ado, here we go. Chapter 15. Jake invited the demon in, where he led him to where he and Lydia had recently shared a meal, and gestured for him to take a seat. "It's a really nice place," he said. Jake stared at him for a moment, standing over the seated demon, who, regardless of the horns, was looking quite uncomfortable. He gulped and blinked back at Jake. For a moment, he wanted to explode and simply start screaming, but he took a deep breath and tried to focus. Whoever was sitting in his chair right now certainly meant him no harm. At least he didn't think so. There was also a growing amount of questions that Jake needed answers to if he wanted to remain in any way sane, and at the moment, this demon seemed to be his best chance at making sense of what had been going on, not only these last few days, but all these years. "Thank you. Do you want a drink? I have beer." "A glass of water would be fine." Jake fetched glasses and poured them both water before returning and sitting down near the demon. "So let's start simple," Jake began as the demon took a tentative sip of water. "I'm Jake. What's your name?"
"It's Daniel. People call me Danny."
"Okay, good. I kept thinking of you as the Zeppelin demon." Danny smirked, but there was also a pained wince in his eyes when Jake said the word demon.
"That's fine. I've been thinking of you as the conduit."
"Conduits," Danny explained, "are people with some kind of link between Earth and Hell."
"Yeah, okay, sure. I kind of knew that much. But why me? What makes somebody a conduit? Why do I have nightmares of being in Hell?"
Danny's eyes widened a little bit, and he took a quick intake of breath before saying, "Okay. Easy. One thing at a time. Sorry." "Okay, so typically conduits are made when somebody sells their soul. If you sell your soul, you become a conduit, whether it's part of the contract or not." Jake was going to interrupt and let him know that he had, in fact, never sold his soul, but decided to hold on to this for now. Danny continued, "When you become a conduit, that connection between the two worlds begins to blur. Things that have been hidden start rising to the surface. I'm imagining for you it started with seeing horns." Jake nodded. "That's usually the case. Not long after that is usually when the nightmares begin." Jake once again held his tongue. He wanted to interject and let the demon know that he'd been having dreams much longer than seeing demons, but felt that that wasn't particularly relevant. Yet, "After the nightmares start, usually the conduit is fully awakened. Once they are, they can start being used by demons."
"Used?
For lack of a better term, I guess. Once a conduit is awakened, demons can hijack their body. Usually it's just to escape hell for a night.
indulge in earthly pleasures. Sometimes it's something more sinister. Jake once more thought of the nights that he had awakened with blood on his hands, and shuddered. Okay, so let me get this straight. Demons can, and have been, taking over my body while I'm asleep. How? Danny looked a trifle uncomfortable as he continued. I don't know how it works. I just know why they'd want to. Okay, and why is that? Danny took a deep, laborious sigh before starting again. Well, when someone dies and they go to hell, it isn't permanent. He paused, and Jake raised his eyebrows and prompted Danny to continue with a "go on" motion of his hands. I feel like a fool explaining this, honestly. It feels like I'm a 5-year-old trying to do a presentation, and I'm not prepared at all. You have to understand that most of what I'm telling you I've simply put together on my own. I don't know how much of it is actually. Look, any information you give me is more than I've been working with. So, you're saying hell isn't permanent. What do you mean? Well, from time to time, demons will be released. We get reincarnated, once again, for lack of a better term. We'll live our life like normal. Then, usually around puberty, we start remembering our old life. Most will explain this away as overactive imaginations, bad dreams, ignore it, and they just live their life, blissfully unaware of the fact that they are in fact living their second or even third life. Others see through this illusion to the reality that's underneath it, like me, and in my experience, these demons are usually aware of the fact that for whatever reason, they've been given a second chance, and so they try to use it as such. You know, a second chance to live a better life and just maybe be accepted into heaven next time around. If not, well, the cycle continues, I suppose. They sat in silence for a few moments while Jake tried to wrap his head around all of this new information. Conduits, heaven and hell, and reincarnation? He groaned involuntarily, thinking of how much simpler his life had been a mere week ago. Danny looked a little worried, but before he could say anything, Jake spoke up. I'm fine. Sorry, this is just a lot. So if demons eventually get reincarnated, why do they need conduits at all then? Ah, yeah, so that's kind of the thing. So not all demons get reincarnated. From what I've gathered, it's usually those on the lesser scale of evil that even get that chance. So the real bad guys, the real scumbags, the ones who don't get reincarnated, they started looking for ways to get back to Earth. You know, any damn way. And, well, conduits. Look, I know this is a lot, believe me. I'm not trying to complicate anything for you. The reason I've been following you around is because I'd like to help, honestly. However I can. Why? Danny the demon grimaced and looked down at his feet. He spoke so quietly that Jake almost didn't hear. Just one word. Redemption. Chapter 16. Danny the Zeppelin Demon, for this would be how Jake thought of him now, had given Jake his cell phone number and told him to call any time, day or night. Jake was incredibly appreciative, but didn't see himself taking up Danny on the offer, certainly not in the middle of the night. He left, and Jake closed the door slowly behind him, locking it once it closed. Like a man in a dream, he wandered slowly back to the dining room table and sat down. He sighed deeply and put his head in his hands. He sat like this for close to an hour. Once a conduit is awakened, demons can hijack their body. Usually it's just to escape hell for a night, indulge in earthly pleasures. Sometimes it's something more sinister. These words pinballed around Jake's head relentlessly as the day wore on. No matter what he did, or tried to busy himself with, cleaning the house, doing dishes, and laundry, he couldn't shake what Danny had said. He didn't tell Danny about waking with blood on his hands, but he wasn't sure why he felt he couldn't. It seemed that out of everyone in his life at the current moment, Danny might be the safest bet when it comes to indulging demon-type information. Yet he kept it from him, and wasn't sure why. He theorized to himself as the day went on that he simply wanted to figure out more for himself first, but this wasn't the truth. He thought it more likely that there was a solemn guilt involved. Hadn't Jake thought of going to the police the first time he had ever woken in the morning with blood on him? Sure, he had thought of it, but he never did. He simply washed up as best he could and hoped the police wouldn't come knocking at his door. And if what Danny told him was all true, which Jake had no reason to assume otherwise, then that meant there may be a literal body count out there and the only linking factor was himself. Maybe it was just animal blood on his hands from demons hunting small creatures. He could hope, but he knew better. He had been craving the knowledge that Danny had imparted on him, but it didn't answer all of his questions, and it certainly shed no light on what he may be doing during the time that he was possessed. Paranoia started to worm its way slowly into Jake's mind. How many times had he woken with blood on him? A dozen? More? Was it possible that the demons taking over his body while he slept had turned him into a serial killer? Jake could imagine all too well being arrested. He wouldn't resist. He would remain calm, though his heart would no doubt be pounding. They would take him to a small room with a two-way mirror and start to question him on his whereabouts during this night and that night. He would say he was sleeping. They would ask if anyone could confirm this for them, and he would say, "No, I live alone. What's this about?" That's when they would start bringing out crime scene photos, maybe videos. These would show clearly Jake in all manner of devious and vile acts. Acts that he would have no explanation for, nor any memory of. Because while it may look like me in those photos, it's certainly not. It can't be. There's no way, he would explain. No amount of pleading would change the cold hard facts, Jake thought, and they would escort him out of the room and into a cell. From there, he would go to trial, and either end up with a life sentence, or possibly end up in a mental institution. Neither of those options sounded appealing to Jake, and in a detached, emotionless sort of way, he thought, I guess I'd kill myself. A dark voice in the back of his mind told him to do it now and save everybody the trouble. This was a voice that he had occasionally heard before in his life, and though the situation was potentially more dire than it ever had been before, he still told the voice to go fuck itself. He would kill himself if he had to. But even with things as bleak as they were at the moment, Jake still wanted to live. He was in love, after all. Jake went to a convenience store and bought a six-pack of energy drinks, along with a small bottle that claimed in big yellow letters, 5 hours of energy, guaranteed. He brought these, along with more ground coffee than he would need in a month, up to the checkout at the front of the store. The clerk looked up at him as he placed the items down, then down at the items, then back up at Jake. It was a young kid, long dark hair, no older than 19, with a lip and an eyebrow piercing. He smirked at Jake, and as he started scanning, he said, "Fuck, man. I remember the last time I pulled an all-nighter. You know, around like 6 a.m. if you go for a walk when the sun comes out, wakes you right up." "Thanks," Jake said awkwardly. "So, you staying up for anything fun? Or is it more one of those "Aw, shit, I got way too much stuff to do to go to sleep," kind of situations, you know?
Jake thought for a moment. He shrugged and said, "Neither, I guess." They finished their transaction, and he handed Jake the bag.
"All right, man. Well, here you go. Just don't stay up too long. I heard that shit makes you crazy, man."
"Good to know," Jake said. He left the store, got into his car, and cracked a can. He chugged and swallowed the far-too-sweet liquid with a grimace, emptying half of it. He looked up at himself in his rearview mirror.
"Ugh, it's gonna be a long fucking night."
Chapter 17.
Jake? Earth to Jake.
Huh? Sorry, what? Lydia looked at him with more than a little concern. He had succeeded in staying awake all night, but his body wasn't used to it, and he found himself, more often than not, unable to keep a thought straight, or pay attention to anything longer than a couple of minutes.
"You look like you've been up all night."
"I have."
"Why?"
"Long story."
"We have time."
"We'd need a lot more."
She squinted her eyes at Jake suspiciously. He looked back at her blankly from across their usual table and took a bite of his donut. Sleep-deprived as he was, he had remembered what kind she liked this morning and had decided to get one for himself as well.
"Fine,"
she said. She relaxed her eyes and took a small sip of her coffee before continuing.
"But you have to tell me eventually. You do know that, right? You can't just keep stuff from me if it's gonna work out."
And just like that, she had hit the nail on the head. The reason he couldn't seem to keep a relationship more than a few months in his adult life was because he had never fully trusted anyone to keep his secrets. And not think he's crazy, anyways. He did want to tell Lydia everything. He was simply afraid he would lose her in the process. What exactly was he supposed to say? "I'm some kind of conduit for demons. They just kind of swing by, use my body, and I wake up in my bed when they're done. Oh, and while this is going on, I'm in hell." They finished their coffee, and she walked him to his car, where she gave him a concerned look and told him to drive safe on his way to work. He said he would, and kissed her. She kissed him back. Mel barely noticed that Jake was a bit spacey, being quite the space cadet himself. He did say something along the lines of, "You party hard this weekend, man?" But that was all. Most of the day went by uneventfully, and Jake was glad for the distraction any time a customer came in and needed help finding something. It was almost time for him to leave, and he was manning the counter. Mel was in the bathroom, he said, but it was more likely that he was smoking a joint out behind the building. When the little bell over the door rang, Jake looked up and locked eyes with the man in black, who grinned at him and strode over.
"Hello again, Jake."
"What do you want?"
"Just making sure you're okay."
Jake couldn't explain why he had invited Danny the Demon into his house, but he was sure it had something to do with his overall presence, unintimidating, even friendly, despite the horns. This demon's presence was an overwhelming evil. Being around him was almost like being trapped in a room with a pack of starved wolves. Death seemed absolutely inevitable, and it wouldn't be quick or painless either. They would relish every morsel of flesh as they tore it from him, and they would bathe in the blood that pooled. "Fuck off," Jake said, surprising himself a little. The man in black laughed, soft and raspy, before he said,
"You have to sleep sometime, Jake."
Jake started and leaned over the counter, closer to the demon, who smelt vaguely of sulfur. The store was empty other than them, but he still didn't want to risk being overheard.
Are you
the one who's been taking over my body?" Soon as he was done saying this,
Mel re-entered from the back door. Jake saw him and froze, hoping he hadn't been overheard. Mel paused where he was and took in the scene, Jake and the man in black leaning close as if they were whispering. And after an intensely awkward few seconds of this tableau, the man in black retreated, almost comically, to the door, his huge black coat billowing behind him as he moved. When he got there, he stopped and turned back to Jake.
"Don't do anything stupid. Your soul isn't the only one at stake."
And then he left. Jake turned back to Mel and saw that he was scowling.
"Fucking religious pricks, man. Your soul? What an asshole. Don't worry about him, Jake, man. It's been a while, but I used to get people like him all the time, saying my store is cursed and shit, man, just because I fucking sell albums with demons on the front cover or whatever. Hey, Jake, man? You okay?"
Jake blinked and shook his head as if literally clearing his thoughts.
Yeah, I'm good, Mel. Sorry, just tired. Didn't need his shit, you know?"
Mel looked down and nodded before looking up at Jake with a small smile.
"You want a dupe, man? And make you forget all about that guy. Plus, they won't tell the boss."
He winked as he said this last bit, and Jake laughed.
"Thanks, but I'm okay." "Sue yourself, man."
Mel turned, pulled another small joint out of the breast pocket of his denim jacket, and walked back outside. Chapter 18. Jake intended on staying up again, as bad for his health as that may be. After he ate, he cracked the small bottle of 5-Hour Energy and downed it. It didn't make him feel more awake. It did make his heartbeat speed up. He had called Lydia on the phone, and they had chatted for a while. She prodded him to get some sleep. He said he probably would. She told him he'd feel better if he did. He agreed with her, though he doubted it. He was pretty sure when he woke up tomorrow he'd feel worse, especially if he once more woke up covered in blood. Before deciding that he would, in fact, go to bed, he went to the bathroom and looked at himself in the mirror. He leaned over his sink and peered into his own eyes. They looked normal, but he sensed there was something else behind them. Something stalking and waiting in the dark of his mind, like a tiger ready to pounce on unsuspecting prey. Jake sighed and spoke into the mirror. "I don't know if you can hear me. I'm sure if you can, you probably don't care. Maybe don't use me as a conduit tonight. Can I request a day off?" He stood for a moment, half expecting his mirrored reflection to answer him, but it didn't. He turned away from the mirror and walked to his bed, feeling stupid and defeated. He had skipped a single night of sleep, and he felt like shit. He couldn't keep that up. He needed to sleep, he couldn't avoid it. As he drifted uncomfortably off, Jake couldn't stop thinking that he had to figure something out. He needed a plan. While Jake once again found himself in the impossibly hot confines of the room in hell where he'd awakened before, his body rose from his bed. The eyes that darted back and forth across the room were not the usual dull green of Jake's, but rather an unsettling grayish yellow. The demon inside of Jake smiled, stood up, and left the house. He didn't bother locking the door behind him. He didn't care. It was a crisp, cool night, and the demon used Jake's nose to take in a deep breath of the night air before letting it out in a long exhale that bordered on ecstasy. When every breath in hell was a torturous burning, Something as simple as breathing in the night air was indescribably pleasant. He started to stroll down the street, whistling as he went.
God damn, is it good to be out here again,
the demon thought, admiring the stars and the cool wind tickling his skin. He walked for a while until his legs started to develop a dull ache, and then he chose a house at random and walked to the front door. Locked. He moved down the street a minute or two and then tried another. Also locked.
What, people don't trust their fucking neighbors anymore?
He let out a frustrated sigh and moved to the next house down the line. He placed his hand on the doorknob of the front door to a small, modern-looking house. It turned under his grip and he said quietly, "Third time's the charm," as he entered the house. He let his eyes adjust to the darkness. It didn't take long. He was a demon, after all. Once his eyes were attuned to the gloom, he began to casually walk around. He peered into the kitchen, walked through the living room, memorizing all that he could. He would come back, after all. And the more he familiarized himself with the house, the better his chances would be that nothing went wrong. It was an unwritten rule for all involved in the business of conduits that you could do whatever you wanted while in someone else's body. After all, nothing led back to you. It was, however, extremely frowned upon to get a conduit in a situation that would render them useless to be used again, like jail or being killed. This would incur the wrath of all the demons involved with that particular soul, and this one was being used quite frequently. He knew by how long it had taken him to be able to use it. There was a waiting list, for fuck's sakes. He guessed not as many people sold their souls anymore, which was a pity, really. He made his way finally to the bedroom. There was only one. The other was an unoccupied guest room. Perfect. He moved as silently as a shadow next to the bed that held a softly sleeping woman. Her hair was short and blonde, her lips full. Her large breasts rose and dropped slowly with every breath. A small line of drool was forming at one corner of her mouth. The demon leaned close and breathed her in. Her life. Her essence. How delectably sweet it would feel to rid her of it. Jake awoke in his bed and immediately bolted upright and raised his hands to his face in a panic. They were clean. Thank God. Though the nightmare was far from pleasant, there was some small relief that there wasn't any blood. He got up, showered, and tried to rid himself of the memories of the night, of that black room with those odd glowing jars, those jars that seemed to scream. That's it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, everybody, so much for your patience between these episodes. I apologize, but I promise once again that we're going to be back to a semi-regular schedule of at least one episode a month. And this episode does not count as July's episode. This is a June episode, so there'll still be one more in July. Thank you again, everybody, so much for your support. Please remember, if you haven't already, to subscribe, leave a review. If you haven't, share it with your friends. It would really help me out. Part 6 of the Hell Conduit will be coming later on this month, so stay tuned. Thank you once again to Orange Hat Film Productions for sponsoring the show. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. There's still a lot more to come with this story. We're just getting towards the end of part 1 of a 3-part story. Again, thank you so much, everybody that's hanging in there and listening. I really appreciate it. Take care of yourselves, and have a good one.